This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
For the 2023-2024 season, the West Ham Way is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. To celebrate, Green King is giving listeners of this podcast 20% off drinks until the 29th of October, an hour before, during and after the sport. All you need to do is download the Green King Sport app. If you've not downloaded it before, you'll even get a free welcome pint. So head to the App Store, download the Green King Sport app, get 20% off your round, and don't miss a minute of the action.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we speak to Neil Taylor, who with others created the very impressive Hammers for Work and Support. Neil talks to us about his life as a fan, growing up in the East End, his heroes, the great work he's done in the West Ham community and how people could be a part of it before we get some fun facts about Aston Villa, news from X and answer questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. This week, myself and X are joined by long-suffering West Ham fan Neil Taylor, who has done some fantastic work in the community for other fans, and we'll get to that shortly. Neil, welcome to the show, mate. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks very much for inviting me on. It's good, mate. I'm well tough with that. Thank you both.
Top man. Pleasure's ours, mate. Well, firstly, let's talk about you as a fan. Where did your love for West Ham come from, mate?
Right. A lot of the families where I come from out the East End, a lot of them, especially where I originally come from, where the family was up in Poplar and Plaistow, they were sort of there was a little bit of divide. Some people supported different clubs and whatever, but I moved with my mum to a road called New City Road, block of flats there, brand new block of flats in 1966, I think it was. And from my bedroom, I was six at the time, but from my bedroom, over night, well, you could see the ground in the day, but over night, you could near on see into the corner of the Chicken Run and the South Bank, which later I used to stand there, known as the Cage. But you could near enough see into it. And when we was really young, six or seven and whatever, and eight, there was a big green at the bottom of the flats, and all the cars used to, on match day, 3 o'clock predominantly, apart from a night game, but there was no Sundays, none of this malarkey what you get now. We used to earn some money by saying, "Can I look after your car, please, mister?" These people would pull up and they must have thought, "Look after your car." And there's nothing of us, but it was, "Look after your car." So we used to stand there and you get a road each, you'd earn a few quid. But during the game, as we got a little bit older, when they'd gone in, we'd run up and try and bunk in and then try and run back before the game ended. So as if we were there looking after their car. And so from about 1960, I think my first game I went into, or two games I went into. One game I went into, couldn't really see anything. But I was luckily enough, even though I was nearly nine, when we beat Sunderland and Earth scored six. So I got into the I got into the old North Bank then, but you couldn't really see a lot. But I just loved it. I mean, you know, the atmosphere over there and it was fantastic. And since then, really, I've always followed them. My brother and a few others were supporting different teams, but I just stayed with West Ham, really. So, yeah, and been stuck there ever since.
It's actually freaky hearing you talk the way you're talking, because I didn't know this about you. My dad also grew up on New City Road, and he tells the same story about looking after the cars and bunking into the ground and coming back in time to make them think that you were looking after the motor.
That's
it. So it's quite freaky to hear you talk like this, because it's like listening to my dad. What a strange small world, though.
I was going to say, would they have known each other?
How old's your dad?
So, well, I mean, he passed away this year, but he was 73, I think, when he died.
Right,
yeah, Dave Walker, his name was Dave Walker as well.
60, coming up to 64. Well, I probably did, because I used to do, where the green was, Aig Road East and a bit of Inniskilling Road. And then you had your own little patch, really. It weren't like Turf Wars, but we had our own little patch of looking after vehicles. So
crazy, isn't it?
So we used to do that and then bunk into the ground and then come back and then collect the money, which sometimes, you know, a couple of quid out of it. But park your car, please, mister. Yeah, days and nights. It was really good little earner, really.
Yeah, the old man tells the same story, honestly. It's lovely to hear you talk like that, because like I say, it's like listening to him. But what a small world, isn't it, eh? Great times, though. Great times, I bet.
No, they're fantastic. Yeah. And then, when that ended, if it was still sort of light out, we'd play on the green over there. But that's where I could of a night on the night games, I could, if I was like centre for the game ended at like 10 past, quarter past nine, then half seven kickoffs. But if I looked out of my window, you could see where the floodlights were working, because we had some of the tallest floodlight pylons at the time then, and you could see the blue haze of smoke coming out of the ground. Obviously, you could smoke in your seat, smoke standing up there, whatever, and just a blue haze coming out. You couldn't make anyone's face out because I was that. But because I was on the ninth floor, I could see there was a couple of blocks of flats nearer to that, Beaumont and something down Boundary. I think it might have been Castle Point down Boundary Road. But yeah, I could see into that. No, it was fantastic times when I look back. And then as it went older, we used to watch them train in the front car park down Green Street opposite Bobby Moore's shop, and they would train on that tarmac there. They've moved the cars out, and there was a score each side, St Edward's, St John's. Yeah, they're training in the middle of it, and they were good days. You'd often see a milling around going into Cassataris or just, you know, they were fantastic days, really.
But you mentioned Jeff Hurst as one of the people that stood out in your first few games of going to the games. Was he your, is it fair to say, your first real hero, or did you have any others when you were sort of a kid?
No, not really. Because I was really young at the time, some people sort of followed, different players and that, but mine, even though, there weren't much difference coming along, but obviously was Moore. And I used to ask them all, really. You know, Best was over there, and there was sort of a clutch of them. But as time went on, when you was always looking out for a player or always going to the early games, was when the king himself, Bonzo, turned up. That was when I first sort of, when I've always had don't get me wrong, I didn't walk around wearing Billy Bond's shirts, but what I mean is that he was the player that always, he's always been my sort of favourite out of them all, really. Even going back, as you say, when I was a young age, it was before he came there. But I've seen some weird old players. I remember going to a game when we was at school, the Hereford game, when the headmaster said, right, if anyone leaves this school and doesn't come back, they're suspended. Well, he had to give up in the end, because I think about 400 people turned out of it. So, that was the day of the old 3-day week, the power cuts, when we played them on a Monday afternoon, and we played there. Yeah, we just turned out in school. We didn't even sit there and ponder the thought of being suspended. It was a chance to get into that ground, and they were standing on the blocks of flats opposite. And, it was games like that that take you back. You know, there's so many dates. I don't keep albums of it, but something just clicks, you know, like the Cambridge game with the snow on the ground and I know the songs that were playing there, Tubular Bet, the whistling. So, yeah, it was just different things that take you back, really. So,
yeah.
But I didn't have not so much an idol, but if I look back at it now, from there, right away back, yeah, Bonzo's my man, to be fair.
Yeah. And so was you going to games on a regular basis, Neil? Or did you start going every week when you reached a certain age? Like how regular were you at Upton Park?
When I was younger, it's knock around with a few people and we started going. Then it was regular at home, and then we started going to a few games on the old Lacey's coaches.
Yeah,
when I was younger. And then when I got to about, I was still going up to about 18 going away, and then I joined the fire brigade. And then from then, I couldn't go so much, really. I still kept in touch with all the people that went regular basis, home and away. But I went when I could. But in there, you know, you could be working like a Friday night, so you'd never get to an away game when you finish Saturday morning, or you're working Saturday days or Saturday night or whatever, because you worked, you know, Sunday to Sunday in there, so you didn't get your weekends off. So it was more sort of difficult. But I went when I could and kept it up. But even when I weren't working, obviously, you listen to the old wireless, and the first result you're listening for is that one, so to speak. But I went as much as I could, over at the bowling. And, it was fantastic, because you always said to people, you sort of don't, it's like an apprenticeship over there. You started in the North Bank, and then you went into the south, and then you went in. I never really went into the east side. I sat upstairs a couple of times, and it was so tight up there, like cramped. You know what I mean? You reached out to scratch your leg and you got your hand on someone else's knee there. You know what I mean?
That's the excuse you gave him, Neil, anyway.
I meant about it at the end. They threw me out of there in the end. I didn't really go in there much, although that was where a lot of players, if you ask them, like home, West Ham or away players, they always mention that Chicken Run, you know, because they were so close to everyone there. But I never really went in there. I sort of went in the North Bank, as I say, and then in the South, up where the cage was. And then they started bringing in all the segregation side of it. And then I went round into the West Enclosure. And, it was fantastic. And I preferred it being the standing. When it sort of changed to mostly seating it, you know, it was all right, but it was still the ground, and then fall out of there straight into the supporters' club. So, yeah, it was a brilliant day. So, yeah, brilliant. Really good. Yeah, really
do you get
good.
Too many home games now, Neil?
I go when I can, really. I live a bit further out, and again, me working that dictates that. So, I'll get over there when I can. I've done the last one, the Newcastle. I've done a few European games when I can, but, when I can. Yeah, when I can get over there, I'll do. Yeah.
Well, talking about the sort of modern day now, what do you make of David Moyes? Do you think he's the right man for the job to take us forward?
When he came in the first time, he was obviously brought in to do a job to keep us up. Mm. He'd done that. They moved him on, got him back. He's pretty cautious. There's no doubt about it. If he steps into a game and he thinks to himself, say it's Man City or we've got anyone like that, he thinks, right, if I'm going to get beat, he seems to... It's like he's resigned himself to the defeat, but he only wants to lose by one goal. He's not, you know, he's not Rose Coulson when he thinks, oh, let's have a go at him. If I lose 5-0, so be it. You know, that's what he does. But I think now, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, he's brought the European Championship. We were sailing pretty high, and we was doing all right. Last season was because of the Europa. Before, you know, the season before, and then last season, I think expectations were that high, but it was a bit difficult, but we still ended up coming out of that with a trophy this year. He is pretty cool, but he spent the Rice money well, in my opinion. But he needs to, I think a few of them were scared to do it. Allardyce done it to us once, where he threw out the team of youngsters at Forest and we got annihilated, and just to prove a point, if you know what I mean. But I feel that Moyes should give some of these youngsters up and coming a bit more of a chance, if you know what I mean. Just to prove himself a bit more, rather than going because virtually an hour before kickoff, when it gets printed up and someone has sent it to me on one of the groups or whatever to put on the group, You virtually know what team he's going to pick. And that's all right when you're Man City or something. But, you know, when you're asked, you think, Christ, didn't he learn it from last week? I'm not going to sit on here digging individual players out because, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, he's very, very, very cautious. But to be honest with you, in the last few years, you would have gone back. I mean, you know, 19, you know, when Bonds lifted the trophy, always said it'd be great to sort of, you know, like for people to witness West Ham lifting a trophy, whatever it is. So, yeah, and they have. So, hopefully, we can crack on. But the European record is fantastic. People say, well, it's only playing against teams like Kajagugu and whatever and all. But listen, you only play what's put in front of you. And they go 17 games. It's good. In Europe, you know, it's superb. So, and long may it continue, really. But, yeah, we're... Listen, we come close, didn't we? In 86, got third, second or third. The game's become too thick and fast, and we didn't have the things to back it up. And that was our luck that year, because when we would have qualified like with Europe in normal years, but we all had a ban out of Europe, so we didn't even qualify. That's typical West Ham stuff for you. But at the end of the day now, yeah, if we can just keep plodding on, I don't want a season like last season, you know, like you're looking, you know, you're looking right behind you and think, oh, I don't want to fall into that trapdoor. Just to get the consistency and push on with this, you know, that Europa would be fantastic. Yeah, it'd be good.
And what do you think realistically we will achieve this season? What are your expectations on Moyes' head? Do you think we should have a crack at it again?
What, Europe?
Well, everything across all competitions. In your mind, what do you expect us to achieve?
Oh, dear, right. Well, what happens is when we go on any sort of cup run, we all start thinking about trying to get hold of someone to try and purchase us a final ticket. You know what I mean? And then in the next round, we normally end up get drawn against the Manx, which I thought we were going to get done. And then, but then again, they were sort of like, you know, dear, it's become so hard now. These cups that you thought you had half a chance of winning, like that coconut cup, like the Carabao thing, whatever it's when they used to call it the milk cup. Days. You had, not us, but you it was open. Anyone even in the old first, you know, like the Prem, and then you went, not the Championship, the old First Division. You'd have a realistic chance. Now, I know Man City are out of it, but now, you know, every sort of team in the top four value them competition, so they go all guns a-blazing for them. So it is hard sort of to win a trophy. You've only got to look back and see like Man City and all the teams that have been in that, you know, them cups. But with us, it'd be great to lift one of the domestic trophies. Of course it would. But that Europa, that's difficult. When you look at some of the teams that are in it, that's very difficult. But yeah, as I said, I want to get that out of the way. Like when you're looking behind, there's some, you know, realistic when you look at it now and the way we're playing and we can play better. You know, even this early in the season, you can have a look and think, oh, no, come on, we shouldn't be sitting down there. There's teams that are down there that deserve to be down there. So if we looked at top eight, you know, I'd be happy with top four, but I'm not sure about that. But to qualify again, like eight, or to qualify again for one of the, if we got knocked out of Europa, for instance, but to qualify again for that or the Conference League, that'd be good, really good.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's move on to your work that you do for Hammers for Work and Support. How, when and why did you start this organisation?
What happened was back in, it was just in the COVID, I was looking after my mother at the time, left work. My mother had dementia, looked after my mother. And Danny Panracker put an idea to me about setting up a group during COVID, sort of try and help Amers get some work, so anyone could just post that. It wasn't like trade work, it was any work at all. And if we see how we got on with that, so he said to me, I'd already been on there with Long Live the Bowling. That was just the old, it's got quite a few people, right? But it dealt with the old, the old times at the ground and old pictures and whatever. And I used to enjoy doing that, especially when I was, as I say, around my mum's looking after her as the carer around her. I used to do that. So I was looking for something. And he asked me, I said, yep, we'll crack on with it. So I sort of got my teeth stuck right into it, which I normally do. It's just a bit of relentless, probably if you like cheese people up with it. I was relentless on there, join this group, trying to paste it everywhere. But we got a good following and got quite a good response. There was people got linked in, a couple of people had some businesses that were slack. So we said, well, if you can offer a little bit of an incentive to other Amers, i.e. a 5% off the job, or, you'll do them a discount. And people latched onto that and they started doing it. And the group actually started to grow. And we at one stage, we got some guy, his business was wasn't doing all that well, and it picked up. And he actually mentioned that. We got invited down to the, down the Eurozone, down at Trafalgar Square. There was Carlton Cole, that Kirsty Gallagher, and they sort of, he was there, this guy. He got us up on a stage up, and he gave his story, how Amers to work had helped his business. And then it sort of moved on from there, really. We had a lot more people coming on and joining. Amers invited their friends, so I said, come on in, invite your friends. And there was other people offering people jobs up. We got it was the big out. There was big hours in big out. They built. I'm trying to think of their name. I'm now coming to me in a minute. But a bloke named Paul's a site manager at Berkeley Homes. That was it. They was offering apprenticeship schemes, and I was putting them onto our group. And a couple of them went through the process. And then some other Tilbury Pulps. They put their apprenticeship schemes on there. So we was aiming at anyone in East London. You got an Amers connection and up the corridor. That's not to say that we wouldn't help anyone over in Kent or whatever, but predominantly that's where we wanted to go. And we had the posts were sitting there, 20, 30, 40 posts waiting for approval. And we had to filter them. It wasn't in preference of anyone you liked. It was just that, we couldn't keep having repeat posts. We done that. Got some admin on. And then I said to Danny, well, I'd like to sort of changed the title a bit. It was called Amers for Work. I said, Amers for Work and Support. I said, because I supported a couple of charities in work, and I did when I was in the fire service. So I thought to myself, I'd like to sort of help people out because people were struggling as well. So we set that up, and then we started helping people that were struggling, like families. And then we moved into some little charities around Newham, all that. They've all got a West Ham connection. Paul Archer runs Newham Ability. Paul's a season ticket holder of a West Ham, and he helps out the disability groups three times a week in Newham, still does. So we started supporting them. And then we just started, there was other groups asking us if we could help. And so we started doing that, and we got involved with the boxing clubs, trying to sponsor them, and we did. We bought Dagenham Boxing Club. And Newham got them a new ring canvas. Dagenham, we've supported a couple of their shows. And it's just gone on from there, really. And it's and then the club started to help us where we would, for some European games, we'd buy some block tickets. But I had to, when I got the tickets for groups of children, you have to have an adult ratio to them. So the club sort of helped me, really, because they would bolt on some tickets at the end so I could send sort of three adults and 10 children. So, yeah, they've been very helpful, and we got some tickets for them for a couple of the European games. So we try and give them out then to little groups or to parents with children, like single parents, single dads, single mums, whatever. And we give them out to people. We give out about, I think, when we looked at it, we try to count nearly 600 tickets we've given away. And through the generosity of people on the group, without them, the group wouldn't exist, so to speak. It's like the generosity of people that, offer the jobs up. We've got regular people do that. We've got people that got cab firms. We don't ask them. There's no fee. Never have. We've never said you've got to give us a pound for being on the group. Yeah, we never do that. If someone wants to promote their business or whatever, waste business or, you know, painting, decorating, no charge. Anyone can advertise anything on there. All we do is I'll normally ask them to let me know if someone's used them on there, you know what I mean? Because it's just a thing where we just keep on top of things. And if someone, put it this way, look, if someone came on there and they were, I don't believe in having it as a slanging match on there, so it keeps it all above board. No, but we don't charge for anyone advertising on there. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
People do it. They come on there. They offer their business up. You know, someone will ask for a cab, and someone will put on there. Well, you know, I'll drive. And then if someone uses them and they're good, they put an endorsement on there. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's fantastic. And it keeps it all in-house. Yeah, so we've sort of helped out. You know, the group's helped out quite a lot of people, really. But as I said, I love it. You know what I mean? It does take a lot of time up, but it's a labour of love for me. But as I say, it couldn't survive without the members on there. And, you know, we raise up a couple of funds. I've done that half marathon. And someone said to me, I'll set this Just Giving. There's so many of them that they're all worthy. Don't get me wrong. But I thought, no, you know, because some people on that group and other groups, you know, it's Just Giving all for good causes. It's not, we donate to them. You know, we just donate to a few that went on over the weekend. That's not an issue. I thought, no, bloke, no, stick it down. And so I thought to myself, okay, I'll do it because I like the running side of it anyway. So I've done it in the South and North Marathon, and he ran me back laughing. He went, well, we've smashed that total. And I thought, what are you talking about? Well, in the end, yeah, raised about 11.5K for it.
Wow. Wow, so, that's incredible.
So I then started, rather than we sort of picked about 8 or 9, I think that was more than that. There's about 12 or different little charities. And I've still got some money left. And I'll just give them money. And anything comes up like it did down the Vic on Saturday, we donate to that cause. You know, the fella out in Alkmaar, we donated to another fella. Yeah, it's just people going through a bit of a hard time, really. So, it's good. So I enjoyed doing the run, and it was worth it at the end to donate. And then we get other people donate some tickets, or people donate a meal voucher. We've got a guy on there at the moment donated a few new kit shirts, and then we done it. So it's just really good when people post up. You know, they've been to the game, and especially we've had little groups of them, and the disability ones, or Billy and Paul from that SCAS, the two lads with Downs, that's the uncle and the nephew. They love West Ham. You know, I've got their tickets blown up in an envelope, and to see their faces opening them up, that makes it all worth it for me.
I've got to say, Neil, honestly, everything to do with the group and the work that you've done is absolutely outstanding, mate. And you and everyone involved should be really, really proud of yourself. It's a beautiful thing you've all done collectively, mate. Congratulations on that. All of that stuff's amazing.
Thanks so much. No, we are proud of it, me especially. It does. As I say, you get calls or messages that I ask, but listen, I'm never rude. There's no need to be rude to people. I acknowledge them at least. I'll say I'll get back to you tomorrow, and I normally do. I don't not ignore them, but I mean, I normally get back to them more later. But yeah, I'll always, if someone takes their time out to drop me a message and ask something, you know, about that, then, you know, I'll take my time out to reply to them. So it's not a problem. And it does. Missus spins her up a bit when I'm out and the phone keeps going all the time. But used to, it's the same thing. If you're running something like that, you have to take that side of it. You know what I mean? You can't. They're people that are on there following you. So, and we got some girls on there that are admin, fantastic. Chopper, he admins it. And, it's really, really good. Danny Fenn. So, it's good. It's a good team on there. And, well chuffed with it. Well chuffed.
What's your greatest achievement so far with that group, Neil, would you say?
Right. Well, they're all sort of equal, really. But, I mean, I like helping youth clubs out. I mean, I say with the boxing clubs, and I'm not a boxer. I'd end up with cauliflower ears. I could advertise on the soles of my feet. You know what I mean? There's no way I'd run around that ring. It's all right. I'd run around the ring punching someone, but if they started hitting me back, I'd walk out. helping them youth clubs, the boxing clubs, were fantastic. That's an hard old. I've been up there. Newham, went to West Ham earlier on, you know, a couple of years back, and Dagenham, Poplar Boxing Club. I want to watch them up there. So we started, you know, with a West Ham sort of connection who runs the clubs and whatever. So we started helping them. And then got involved with the disability side of it as well, you know, with, as I said, with Paul Archer and then that little scash. You know, there's just people there that are hammers and they do great work. They do better work than I've ever done. There's people who look after these disability groups. And biggest achievement, really, I suppose, was getting up to them, that amount of members. And if you like, you know, the club have acknowledged it and people like yourself. You know, it's fantastic. And yeah, we get, there's never really bad feedback. You're going to get people saying, well, I use so-and-so and it was, you know, he didn't phone up. But I try and deal with that. I don't hang people out and crucify them on social media. I try and deal with it in a closed message. And luckily enough, 99.9 of it just gets settled that way, really, because, you know, we're not a group that sort of hangs people out to dry on it, and I don't believe in doing that. So, it's fantastic. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, it is brilliant, mate. And we were desperate to get you on the show because we appreciate, as do many West Ham fans, how much you've done for these people and the great causes that you've helped out and the support you've given so many people. This is really impressive. It's great that the club, as you say, have acknowledged that as well and have reached out and supported you with it. So let's try and get the numbers even higher. How can people find you? How can they get in touch? What's the best way for them to start following you and getting involved with the work that you do?
Well, on Facebook, it's Hammers for Work and Support. And the same on Twitter, really. I go on the Twitter, but it's mainly on, the group is mainly on Facebook. Well, my oldest daughter, she don't let me into her accounts, you know what I mean? Don't add me as a friend on there. But she said, oh, you want to put it on Instagram? I struggle on things like that, X, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? Because they're all dancing videos, and I can't be doing that. So, like go on TikTok and all that, like, you have to sort of dance to a record. I go on there to try and promote it, because in June, 16 of us, I thought, well, we'll have another challenge now, but we'll spread the charities around, so we're doing the old three peaks. That's with Mark Phillips from West Ham, you know.
Oh, legend, good mate of ours.
I think Jimmy Walker's coming on, Paul Konchesky. There's some other people who run a finish. Yeah, so it's a team brilliant. Of sort of 16 of us, and we're going to do the three peaks. So that'll be interesting. So when that sort of gets up, we're all starting to do a bit of training. So when that comes up, we're sort of promote it a bit. And, yeah, we'll be picking different charities and then, and helping them out as well. So, but getting hold of us, yeah, it's on Facebook, it's Hammers for Work and Support. And then on Twitter, it's the same thing, really. We had these little cards given out, but I didn't want to just sort of stand there giving thrusting saint like that down. But no, it's going right. And as long as you're an hammer, we've had a few people from other teams come on there or get on there, because you can't. I'm not going to sit there like a detective looking through everyone's profile. But then I think to myself, well, I wouldn't go on to other teams' groups. You know what I mean? What would be the point in it? You know what I mean? So, but they sort of go in the end. But no. So on Facebook or Twitter, it's Amazon Work and Support.
Fantastic. Well, Neil, thanks for coming on, mate. It's been great speaking to you. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to speaking to you again in future, pal.
No, thanks very much for inviting me on. It's been good, really good. Thank you.
Okay, it's a trip to Villa Park for West Ham on Sunday. Let's find out a little bit more about our opponents. Founded in 1874, Aston Villa have played at Villa Park since 1897. Aston Villa is one of the oldest and most successful clubs in England, having won the Football League First Division 7 times, the FA Cup 7 times, the League Cup 5 times, and the European Cup and European Super Cup once. A key element of the Villa crest is the Lion. It's a tribute to the Royal Arms of Scotland and the Scottish heritage of Birmingham. In 1877, the new club's chairman was William McGregor, a Scotsman who had been attracted to Villa because of the links to his homeland. Aston Villa became the second team ever to win the double when they won the First Division and the FA Cup in 1897. first club to achieve that was Preston North End. Their 128 goals during the 1930-31 season still stands as the record for the most top-flight goals scored in a single season. Villa Park has played host to more FA Cup semi-finals than any other club ground. George Ramsay spent 42 years in charge of Aston Villa and still holds the record for the most FA Cup wins as a manager. Ramsay, who took charge of 1,327 Villa games, won the FA Cup on 6 occasions. Famous fans include Prince William, Tom Hanks, Ozzy Osbourne and Simon Le Bon.
Calling all West Ham fans. Are you a patron of the West Ham Way? If not, why not? For the price of a pint, you get top quality content on a daily basis, to include the famous West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X, over 100 interviews with ex-players and celebrity fans, Mad Dog Bites with Martin Allen, a show with Tony Cotty, the U Irons podcast, the West Ham Way USA, a transfer window show with Demis Sheff, and expert pre-match analysis. There are virtual events with ex-players, written articles, match day discussion, away day burger reviews, in-depth match reports, and if you want to be the first to get reliable, accurate, exclusive news on all club affairs, you'll get exactly that from the best ITK in the business, ex-West Ham United employee. All that and more delivered to your phone for a fiver a month. It's the daddy.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.